But tea will soothe me.
Oh, you know? Okay. Tea's like when you're not feeling good and you're like, I need to turn my day around.
Yeah, but I'll do like probably 80% tea to 20% coffee. That's
oh, really?
Yeah, I'm a predominantly a tea.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, I like it. It's I think I know a lot of like at my grandparents and stuff when we were kids, we'd always go there. They'd always have tea. But more than coffee. But
tea,
a pot of tea. A pot of tea, yeah.
Yep.
It was nice, a little honey. Anyways,
yeah, the honey. Yeah, that's what it was.
There's one viewer, but I'm sure they heard our tea conversation and fucked right off.
Ooh, they're buzzing. Tea talk.
Oh, wow. This show's going to be off the hook. Did you hear what the tea statement they made? It's amazing.
We're underselling it.
We are underselling it. Okay, but we'll get this thing started. But let's start off this week's episode of the Dutch Hall by acknowledging our sponsors. That way we can get it out of the way first, and then we don't have to do it anymore. Let's go, first of all, with BetterHelp. BetterHelp, do you have something in your life that's like holding you back or like preventing you from achieving your goals? If you do, we want to talk to you about a sponsor of our program, BetterHelp.com. BetterHelp.
Click for a better tomorrow.
Yeah, Beaver already wrote a new slogan for them, so they're really stoked with us right now. Being sponsors. And you'll notice that we're actually behaving more like a professional podcast by getting sponsors and Patreon and something else we did. We did a bunch of things that made us seem like a real show recently, and I don't think we could have done any of that if it hadn't been from the help I've gotten with my therapist. And I really, really, I would never have a sponsor on our show that I didn't try out and then like say, okay, I think it's a good product, and I'm not like just selling
firsthand
a bunch of crap, you know?
Right.
And we use BetterHelp, and BetterHelp, they were great. You just sign up online. You tell them about yourself. They line you up with a counselor from anywhere in the world that's going to help you through whatever you're dealing with, whether it be depression and anxiety, whether it be anger problems, whether it be addiction, any sort of an issue that you're dealing with. You can get your help by going to BetterHelp.com/DutchHall. And if you go to BetterHelp.com/DutchHall, they're going to give you a special offer. That's 10% off your first month at BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/DutchHall. Again, that's BetterHelp.com/DutchHall. And start living a happier life today. BetterHelp, pretty good. It's good. It's a good service, though. We used it. They got back within 40. It was within 24 hours. They say they'll anywhere within 48. They line you up with the person that's the best fit for what you asked for. And so far, the people that they've lined, the people I know that have used the service and me up with have been great. Like, really.
They're working to see you get better.
Yeah, they're like professional therapists. They're not. It's not like a self-help line. It's not like a crisis line or nothing like that. It's just they line up with a real therapist, and you get it cheaper than you do around here, like a lot cheaper, which is good. Because yeah. I thought, well, I offer this stuff and it's cheaper. I thought that's good, but like, what if it's still crap? And then it was actually good.
You can do it in your pajamas too. You don't have to leave home.
Yeah, you don't have to leave home. You don't have to sit beside a bunch of crazy people in a waiting room.
Perfect for a lockdown situation.
Yeah, it's great. Anyways, if you're rural, if you're out in the country, and it's international, so no matter where you are listening to this program in the world, if you want help, you can go to BetterHelp.com/DutchHall, and no matter where you are, they can line you up with a licensed therapist that will help you out anywhere in the world. So please support our sponsor. They are a sponsor of this program, and I think they're a great partner. So thank you very much to BetterHelp.com. And where else? I'm going to shut that one. And then also Amazon. If you'd like to go to livefromthedutchhall.com, click on our Amazon banner. If you don't see it, you probably got an ad blocker. But there's a link there with a picture of Amazon. Click on it. And you can go to your shopping, and some of that money will come and help our show. And I actually got a check from those sons of bitches.
No shit.
Yes, I did.
You got some moolah.
Some a little bit of cake.
Right on.
Yeah, and we end up, I don't know, I haven't seen the check yet, but they said they sent it to me.
Oh, checks so, in the mail.
We'll see. Yeah,
I don't know about that one.
It's very rarely I get a check from them, but when I do, I like to rub it in that it was just from these silly dick jokes in a pool shed that they made some money.
What's his name? Bezos throw you some money your way or what?
Yeah, less money for Bezos.
Yeah.
More money for Pete.
Yeah.
That's how it works. So go to Dutch Hall, livefromthedutchhall.com, and click on that banner, do your shopping. If you're going to do it with that guy, you might as well give me some money rather than that prick. And and then also, you can go to patreon.com/Dutch Hall if you wanted to support our Patreon. We actually, this is kind of a new thing. We launched our Patreon page. We have multiple memberships of sponsorship. You can go to, you can become like a, I forget. I got it over there on that piece of paper. Let me get it.
Like levels.
Yeah, there's levels. So when you go on our page, you know, if you want to support our show, you can become a supporter for $5 a month, and that's Canadian. So if you're in, like, the States, that's even less.
It's a deal.
It's a
I bet you
deal.
Can, you can own us for, like, fucking nothing. So you can be a supporter for $5 a month, a shareholder for $10 a month, or you can join the Diamond Club for $25 a month. And we actually got – and then there's also – I should continue. We have a small business – we also have opportunities for business sponsorship. There's a small business sponsor tier in there. There's a business partner, and there's a presenting sponsor, which is like our sugar daddy, which basically we'll fucking do anything. Like, we're your bitch.
Heavy.
If you go to that Patreon's page. But, you know, I put it out there because they said, this is how you professionally do a podcast to raise money, and you get it from Patreon. So I did it, and never really thinking anyone would really do anything.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I made this page like a couple years ago. Never launched it because I was, you know, why bother kind of thing.
The confidence wasn't there? Yeah.
No, I didn't. Anyways, I launched a page, and sure shit, in the first week, we got an actual Patreon member.
Oh, right on. Nice.
We have a person that's paying to be a Patreon member of our podcast in the very first week, and it exceeded my expectations already. And we're going to talk about that on our show in a segment we call a feedback. We got feedback. But if you too want to be a want to support our program, you can go to patreon.com/Dutch Hall and do that. So thank you, and we will publicly thank our very first shareholder, real life shareholder of our program. Boom, that's it. So that's it. Ads are out of the way. Money's done. Rolling in. This is a fucking. We're
sliding in smooth.
I think we might be rich already.
I think so.
And the show ain't gone out. God damn it, we're
got
good.
Butterflies thinking about all the money coming in.
Yeah, it's great. But you know, you ready to get this puppy started?
Let's give her.
We got the beaver over there. I don't know if you see him, but I'm really excited to have him in here because I've been saving up some stuff for him. I have questions upon questions, and we really got to set the record straight on Kevin here too. But there's only one way to get this thing started, and that is a little thing. We call
the theme song.
That's right, Beaver.
There it is.
That's a nice round of applause.
Yeah, it sure is. Oh, did I plug that bastard in? Yes, I did. Oh, whoa. Hey, welcome everyone to the Dutch Hall. I'm your host, Pete Van Dyke. We are coming to you live from Pool Shed in Pine Grove, as always, bringing you entertainment on a Thursday night against the wishes of our premiere. And tonight we have in the Dutch Hall our Season 8 regulars. It seems like a nice little reunion of normal people inside the Dutch Hall after the circus we had last week.
It's nice and comfy.
Ladies and gentlemen, Please welcome back to the hall, longtime supporter and wonderful character on our program, Derek the Beaver Van Hooten, everyone.
Yeah.
And behind the soundboard here, this is a guy who got a lot of shit last week.
Uh-oh.
He was put through the ringer by our guest, and I thought a lot of it was undeserved. And I wanted to just set the record straight this week. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome him back. Kevin Van Dungeon, everyone.
Yeah. The man.
And we already said, but I am your host and two-time.
Two-time.
I'm President's Club Award winner, Pete Van Dyke.
And then, as always, we have charters.
Thank you very much, Beaver. the other co-host of our program sitting beside me here, I didn't even think, is, ladies and gentlemen, the co-host of our program, a wonderful person, Robot Charters, everyone. Robot 2.0.
Thanks a lot, Pete.
Oh, it's nice to have you back. I can't believe I forget about you. The thing is, I sit beside you so often, Robot Charters, that I forget you're here sometimes. It actually is. I think that he's kind of like my security system. You're kind of like my security system in the hall. And because
he's got your back all the time.
Yeah, I come in here all the time. I think there's someone in here because there's this big monstrous robot with a mustache sitting here in the dark, leering at me.
Just leering,
just like the real Charters. All he's missing is the ember of a cigarette. You know,
Jerry is somebody that walks by and they're like, someone's in your pool shed.
Not yet. But I think it is. I think it would keep the burglars out because I wouldn't want to mess with this guy.
No.
Yeah. I know. Well, anyways, do you want to dig right into this robot?
Let's do it.
You want to see what he's up to this week?
I
want
to see what he's up to.
All right.
Well, Charters, are you able to, let's just talk with him. I'm not going to ask him. I'm going to tell him. He's a robot.
Yeah.
This isn't about his emotions.
It's AI.
I imagine, Dave, that it must be difficult being a robot.
It sure is.
And I imagine that at times it can be very lonely to be a robot.
It sure is.
And I can also imagine that with that loneliness, perhaps could come horniness even.
It sure is.
Yeah, what do you do there, Charters?
You must be very horny as a robot. It must be. How do you do that? It must be hard not to touch yourself.
It sure is.
It must be like difficult, and at times, it must be like impossible not to touch yourself.
It sure is.
So, by your admission, there, I can just assume that. That you are still, even though in robot form, still, I think it must be imperative for you at times to relieve the pressure that comes from this horniness.
It sure is.
I don't know if that one worked or not, but I got to ask you, because you're a robot, maybe you don't think the same way a human does. Maybe you got, I want to see how close to my buddy Dave, which you're based on, do you what kind of kinks do you have? You know, like what kind of material?
What gets you going?
Yeah, what gets you going? What makes you want to go and just flog your meat there?
I gotta confess, I just googled Doc Rivers.
Doc Rivers?
Doc Rivers?
That's really out of nowhere. You know, like is that your type?
Yeah. Why? What's your problem, man?
Really? That's your type. Your type is. Like 7 foot tall black men?
It sure is.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Is there anything else that gets you going?
You know, I have a soft spot for Mexicans.
Wow. I don't know.
He's all over the map on this one.
Very racial.
Yeah.
I think it's very racial, man. I don't know. And you know what? You do you, buddy.
Thanks a lot, Pete.
You do you. It's always nice talking to you, Dave. I hope to talk to you more during the program.
Excellent.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, Charge Robot. Let's
there
just
he is. There he is.
And, at home they were clapping.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got to go. I have this thing this week, Beaver.
Yeah.
I had a couple weeks ago. Kevin, actually, here. Actually, let's get in. I want to get in Kevin because you weren't here last week.
Yeah, let's do it.
Last week we had Dan Brannon in, and a stand-up comic. And every time you have a stand-up comic down at the Dutch Hall, it's a bit of a coin toss, a toin quas, even, if you will. And
well, we're at almost less than a 50-50 split here, huh?
Yeah. We've had some bad runs.
It's like 60-40.
Even long-time guests who have had multiple, like, good shows come in every once in a while and just, for some reason...
Throw the Hail Mary in the wrong direction.
Yeah, it's just they just seem like we're not meshing for some reason or whatever. They're on a different program than we are.
Right.
So last week seemed to be one of those shows. God bless Dan and everything. Love Dan, but last week it just seemed like he was on fire. You know, I had actually, I think if you listen back to that show a couple times, I even had to say, shut up, Dan, to the guests, which normally, if you watch a lot of late night talk shows, not a lot of them yelling at the guests to shut
no,
up.
No, that's kind know. Of a Pete Van Dyke one out of 1,000 scenarios. You'll unplug somebody before you tell them to shut up if it's that bad.
Yeah, like it was just like a matter of like... Like, and then at the end, he says, did I step on your jokes? And I'm like, oh, my God, dude. Like, yes, Steppy Stepperton. Anyways, but that happens from time to time. You just kind of don't mesh or whatever. Like,
and sometimes people don't, they don't fall in line.
Right.
You know, it happens.
Now, there's a couple of sins, though, last week.
Oh, let's hear them.
And these ones are going to be, these are tough. These are going to be tough to explain away. Number one, I would, because Dan's been always a great supporter of our show, he shares our episodes and he tags us on things so that we get mentions and all that crap I don't understand, right? So Dan's been really helpful to us. So I don't want to, like, say anything that's going to, like, dissuade him from continuing to support us.
Or incriminate him.
Or, like, yeah. But, like, one of the things, here we got here, Kevin Van Dungeon, he's sitting right there, you know? Mm-hmm. The guy's been season 8 stalwart. You know?
Yeah, he's a staple.
You guys have been like really just all-star material. Well, I know, Kevin, I know you don't like me pumping your tires. I know you don't like it, eh? He's modest over there. But God damn it, the guy sits here. Once in a while, he sits there. He touches buttons sometimes. God damn it, what's wrong with that? You know?
Exactly.
That's what I say. And he's sitting there doing exactly that.
Staring away.
Just staring there. Look. And then...
Just making the show better behind the scenes.
And then Dan comes in. This is the one incident I'm going to say is the one where Dan goes, takes a piss in the middle of the show, right?
Yeah.
And he goes out, takes a piss, comes in. I'm talking because, like, while he's gone, the show's still continuing, right?
Right.
It's a live stream. And then he comes in and sits right back down and talk. I'm still in the middle of talking. He interrupts what I'm saying in order to tell Kevin, who's sitting here, to go and pour him a drink and bring it to him over there. When he was just walking, he could have walked, got himself a drink, and then brought it to the same thing.
And this isn't...
And Kevin's not the fucking servant of everybody.
Well, I was just going to say, he wasn't the bartender.
No, he's not a bartender. He's not trained. He wasn't, yeah. When I introduce him at the beginning of the show, do I say, this is our bartender? I used to do that with my brother. And he never served anyone a drink once. And
no.
If Dan would have asked him, my brother, Dan would never have asked my brother.
No, never.
For
like,
a drink.
I would be, I've been assistant bartender in my day. And I would serve drinks before Paul would. But no one would ever ask Paul to get them a drink.
No. And I'll tell you, I've billed you as a bartender. You've been in bartender competitions. You've been a bartender fill-in many times. But Paul always wanted to have the primary role of the hall bartender.
Right.
He didn't like anyone else to have it, right?
Even though I was true.
The only one that ever did the job.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
But, like maybe Jamie Barham would have done the job.
Jamie Barham was good.
He served drinks too.
Yeah.
So. But Paul never served a drink in all the years I saw him sit there.
No.
And also, I would like... if Dan would have asked him or told him, I don't even think he asked. Well, he did ask.
Your brother would have chuckled a little bit.
Yeah, he would have chuckled and probably told him to go fuck himself, right? Like,
yeah.
And that would have been nice to see, right? But I remember one time, it reminds me of a similar story. There was this dude, some fucking dickhead in Tilsonburg, you know, would always try to book these like music guests that he was going to be booking gigs for or something. I don't know what this guy was all about. But he would send me these like guys, like these musicians or whatever. But you know, they were not my cup of tea. You know, like just strangers, the weirdos that come into my studio here. And so a lot of time, one time, this guy comes in, and like Dave comes, the real Dave, not Robot Dave, but he comes to the show, and he doesn't know that who this guy is. You know. He just figures I booked him from something and that I knew him or whatever.
And everything should be all good. And yeah.
So the guy, Dave, comes in. At this time, we had the seats all around the for each member of the band, right? And the guy's sitting in Dave's seat, you know? The one that he goes sits in every week.
Yeah, like you should know whose seat's what. And if you don't know, you wait to be seated.
Right. And so Dave comes in and says to the guy, something about, like, you're in my seat or whatever. And the guy tells him, like, basically to fuck off. Like, because I think he saw us, like, hacking on Dave. And then I think he thought.
He assumed it was okay to join in.
Well, no, sorry. I'm kind of messing the story up. Because what happened was it set him off kilter at first. And then Charles didn't do nothing. He just let the guy
do his
sit
thing.
In his chair. And Charles got another spot or whatever. And then as the show went on, we were making fun of Dave, and he started joining in. And then we were like, this guy steals his seat, and now he's hacking on Dave. Like, we're all thinking, like, Char's going to crack him.
You know? Yo, yeah. Because he's got a limit, too, like anybody.
Yeah, and he's a sizable dude. Like, he's, like, built like a brick shithouse.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to fuck with Dave, actually.
You could.
I wouldn't want to fuck with anybody my size, but.
Oh, he's like, it's like hitting a fire hydrant, eh? It's like, there's just no give to him, eh?
Yeah, it's like brick wall.
Yeah, just tree trunk legs and fucking big, thick block head. There's no move in that, eh? Like,
yeah.
And anyways, I wouldn't want to mess with him. So we're thinking Charles is going to eventually just crack this guy because he's being like a dick. Anyways, the whole time he thinks it's our buddy. So he's putting up with it. Like, just internally, like, I don't know where you found this guy, Pete, but if you say he's okay, I'll say he's okay.
Right.
And he doesn't want to cause problems, but we're all just like, cause problems, man. This guy's a jerk, right?
Right.
But there's been a few times, eh, where you guys have almost had to crack. Like, there's been tension in the room.
There's been, I'd say, 5 or 6 times there's been tension in the room.
Because there's one time where there was a couple drunk people.
Couple drunks.
That were just too drunk.
And we were just, like, our knees were, like, you know when you're sitting and your knees are just going, it's like, fuck, I got to say something. Say something, but I can't. Not my show. Calm down, Derek.
We had one guy fell right asleep, drunk, and thank God he did.
Thank God he did, because
before that, he was going to get cracked. I tell him, because he's like a friend, he's a friend of mine, you know? And I tell him, like, you know, you don't know how close you came to getting smoked, because, like, you're pissing everybody off. He was just saying, like, sometimes people come down here and they think it's fun to make fun of, like, how it's not the city, right?
Right.
And then they just make fun of things that are like, they're just like saying like everything that you love is shit.
Right.
You know? And then it's not really making people laugh.
They're where the highway. It's like, no, no, no. You're fucking here. You're not at home.
Especially, yeah, you're in a room full of the people you're making fun
of. Yeah. Like, most of the time, like, it's like 10 people in here.
But
like,
I see that. Yeah, exactly. When in the old days, when they let you have people around. But I remember one time they said, oh, fuck, I lost it already. I lost the whole thought at all. Kevin, you're my age. Did you get that happen to you?
Oh, my God.
Like, complete blanks?
Yep.
Well, mainly we were talking about how Kevin was treated last week.
Oh, yes. So that was the one thing. I think Cardinalson treating Kevin like a bartender when he's not, and he's not assistant. And then he made two quotes that I want to say here. One was, Dan said, I do my podcast myself. I don't have a Kevin, is what he said, right? Kevin who sits in this chair here.
Yeah.
And then I thought it's important. He also said that this would be Kevin's last show because he would be fired.
Yeah.
Right? So I
really? Yeah. And you're within arm's reach of the guy.
No, but that being said, the point I'm trying to get at is that Kevin cannot be fired because he's not been hired. Right, he gets $0 and 0 cents.
Yeah.
You know, like we all do.
We all do. Yeah, as do I. And if I was paid a penny, I would not want it. Like I'm here because I want to be here.
Yes, and Kevin, your skills on the computer, would you say as for a for a man of your age, would they be above average, average, or below average?
Maybe average.
Average. I would say that's probably accurate. Like an average, you're not like a tech wizard. No. You don't live in the tech world. You don't produce podcasts for a living.
No.
None of those things, right?
But the fact that he's taking control of it, I'd say he's above average.
He comes in here with a good attitude.
Yeah.
An open heart. And a willingness to contribute to the show. I'll tell you, in 7+ years of doing this program, no one that's helped me out on the show has ever sent me a text in the middle of the week saying, hey, what about this? Like, maybe this will be funny on the show in the future.
Yeah, let's try this. Let's try that.
Yeah, Kevin does it.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm saying that the criticism that over a technical glitch. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Getting a little heated.
A technical glitch that I would fire Kevin Van Dungeon. That's bullshit.
Did you
bullshit, Mr. Brennan.
Sidebar, did you notice when you asked for a comment bits on our group chat, you notice who the first two people were that threw them in there? Were me and Kevin.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. You and Kevin, right? The contributors.
Yeah.
Season 8 All-Stars is what I call you guys. And also, another thing that Dan did that I'm going to bust him on right now because I have no reason not to, because he doesn't listen to the show like he pretends to. Okay.
It's share, but he doesn't share the...
He tells me he listens, like, and stuff like that, but then I go... Then he's like, he didn't know that the band wasn't a regular thing this season, and he didn't know a bunch of, like, obvious things.
Right.
The robot was all surprises to him, and, like, the robot's been around for a few weeks.
Yeah.
He's like, I get it, man. I'm not mad at him for not listening to my show.
You're
it's
calling like, a spade here.
I don't listen to any of my friends' podcasts. Like, that would be horrible.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not listening to, like, Joe's podcast. Like it might be great, but I...
Who's Joe?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, I think it's probably good. Go listen to Go Home Joe. I want to give Joe a plug because I don't want to trash his podcast. Go Home Joe. He's been doing it for a while with Sherry. He's been doing good. I want to give him a plug.
Heavy commitment.
Yeah, it's hard to do one of these things. It really is.
Yeah.
And then, another thing is that I forgot, because you can do these things every week, you don't really pay attention. But, like, we did 350 plus, we've passed 350 episodes a few weeks ago.
Wow. Holy shit.
Yeah, 350. And
there it is.
Thank you.
We needed that.
Yeah, 350 episodes. And that's, like, over 350 hours of
talking.
Talking, yeah.
I'd call it a good 1,000 hours.
More than, because we used to do like...
We did long ones at the beginning, yeah. Yeah. We used to do just hours and hours. I don't even remember them. Man, whew, that's the truth, too. I miss whole fucking chunks.
That's a throwback right there. Your head just spun a little bit there.
Yeah. Well, it bugs me, you know? I have a mind like a steel trap. I can remember everything. I remember like details of stories from my whole life. But then there's certain, like, chunks I just miss. Like, there's, like, holes, eh?
You've repressed them.
Yeah, that's what my dude, my guy that fixes my head saying. He's saying that it's, like, a defense mechanism or something.
Oh, really?
Like, you go in, like, you just, like, go into, like, a survival mode and you'll just, like...
Block it out.
Yeah, but you still are, like, moving around and doing shit.
Oh, really?
It's weird. Yeah. I don't want to get into that.
It's like a blur.
Huh?
It's like a blur.
Yeah, like a brownout.
Yeah.
It's hazy. Because the rest of it, I swear to God, like I remember details that there's no reason to remember them. Like I have a really good memory.
Now, when you have so many fun times, though, you can't remember every single fun time.
Like, no,
you had a lot of fun times here.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean? Like you're remembering significant points in life as opposed to a shitload of fun.
No, I don't remember all the details. Like I don't remember every detail, but I remember. Like, I remember a lot
right.
of stuff. And then, but like with the stuff I don't remember, it's like everything about it I forget.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll forget like 6 months chunks.
Oh, shit.
Like, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, big chunks.
Yeah, but when you get focused on now.
Like, I don't remember starting stand up.
Really?
Yeah. I don't really remember.
I don't remember you starting stand up.
I don't remember that much of the start of starting the show. Like that sort of stuff. Like,
I think
there's pieces of it that I just forget.
When I came back for this season, when I came back to this place for the first time again,
yeah,
it like brought back so many memories, like things that I had forgotten. I was like, holy fuck, I remember this, remember that.
Oh yeah. You know? Yeah, that church. The church is kind of like that. When I go back in there now, is like it's kind of like you kind of start remembering parts of that experience and how weird that was.
Right. You pick something up. Oh, yep. I remember when we did this. Or
yeah, yeah, yeah. That building's kind of sad to go into now. The church. I get old Hungarians call me all the time trying to.
Really?
They've like, I've talked to this guy. He'll buy it from you if you, you know, I'm like, mind your own fucking business, man.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, why is it? But because it's a church. Like, so it's like an institution. They don't want to see it tore down and like something shitty go up.
True. Right.
So like if they can try to manipulate it that I can sell to this dude because this dude's going to keep it looking at least like a church, and then
there won't be a Fast Eddie's show up there.
Yeah. There won't be some sort of like terrible. So I'm not going to do that either. I'm going to keep. I like the church. I want to respect the community. Oh, I might have to. I might have to check out. We might be losing our signal here. Just I saw it click out on us one time, so we'll just keep an eye on it. If anyone is listening to this and we sound or look like shit, just give us a text there or something and let us know what to do. I just saw it flick one time, so we'll just keep an eye on it. Anyways, yeah, it's kind of weird when you just get a dude out of nowhere will just call you and say like, yeah, I'm trying to sell your thing because
we don't like what you're doing with it.
Yeah, like we just want to like we're just nosy or something.
I think you presented you kept the history as for your time there.
Yeah.
As best as you could.
Yeah.
For what you were doing.
Yeah, I think the best thing, the only thing I can really do with it now, is like try to make it into something residential and sell it off.
Mm-hmm.
Because the money in that shit is crazy. They like,
oh buddy,
if you don't think we're in hyperinflation now, I don't know what is, you know, at least in property. But I did hear on the news this morning they're talking about that Toronto's real estate market's going down. And I'm like, yeah, because they're all fucking driving everything up out here. Like everyone's leaving the city.
Well, they're all leaving there,
and no one's leaving here.
No.
So if everyone's coming here and no one's leaving here, it makes sense that our prices are going crazy, right?
Right.
Oh, there's been more millionaires created in the last fucking 6 months than any time in history.
Well,
around here.
My house, like, my house probably went up $400,000 in a year.
In a year. Like what kind of
and that's probably modest on how much it went up, you know, like in my, it's crazy.
Oh, it almost makes you think there's a lot of people that are going to have to start calling their insurance companies and being like, what's my property worth now?
Well, yeah, wow. I mean,
because like if fucking something happens,
not only that, but the price of what if you do break something?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If something goes wrong with your property. Oh.
So it's like if you're selling and then buying something. That's the same. You don't benefit at all.
No, it's just moving around.
Yeah, but if you got excess property, then that's something you can do with it. Or if you're going out, like they were just showing, I saw this posting that had this like gorgeous house on like the in Newfoundland on like the bay. You can see the ocean and all that shit. And it's a real nice like farmhouse looking thing.
$75.
Yeah, exactly. It was like $365,000 or something for this place. You know. That here would be multi-million dollars.
Really?
You know? Like, yeah.
Oh, so they haven't hit that kind of scenario yet.
Yeah, I think that's the only way you could cash in on this is if you sold here and then went somewhere where...
So you almost need like a Toronto or a Vancouver close to you.
Well, no, we have one, right?
That's what I'm saying. Oh. We have Toronto. So like people are moving from like out east. They really don't have that.
Oh, I
that
see.
Wow factor city that has all the money and
like Halifax, I say for an example, wouldn't have the same impact. No,
right.
And I think that pretty much all around the world, if you're within an hour and a half of a big metropolitan city, you're seeing this kind of like
right this effect.
Yeah, but if you probably went up north, like where you're like if you went like say Sudbury, wouldn't have the same effect.
No,
right.
You know. Because it's too far from Toronto.
You probably still buy like 100 acres for $100,000.
Yeah, so, who knows?
All that work from home, right? People think they can work from home. And then they also are commuting right now. When they commute, the 401's not even busy.
Yeah.
Wait till it's busy. And they're stuck in Milton
right.
for 2.5 hours on their...
Yeah, yeah.
I think I still think only so many people can work from home. Like, life is going to get boring in a fucking hurry. Like,
yeah.
You need that... Everybody needs that stimulation of something new.
Yeah.
Yeah, but unfortunately, Beav, what I think, and I don't know if I'm right, I hope I'm wrong, but I think that they're going to get to the point where they're going to be like... because we were forced to work from home now, and I've always been a proponent of it until I did it, and then I realized it's not what it's cracked up to be. But because we were forced to work from home, now the companies realize they can save money
right.
working from home. And then once the companies figure out they save money from working from home, it doesn't matter if it's good for you or if it's like making you happy.
Yeah.
As long as it's saving them fucking money, then you're working from home. So it's going to end up being that the people are going to start having to pay for their own office space to have like these work share things
yeah,
because they're going to realize the benefit of their own mental health by not working out of their house.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be that basically your employees are paying for offices and the companies don't pay for nothing. That's what it'll end up being.
Well, and it'll be a plus plus because like next thing you know, then you can write off the fucking office in your house.
Yeah, you can always do
write off your utilities and all that shit because you're working from home.
Your situation is like what hairdressers have to do. They have to rent a chair in a salon.
Yeah.
So an office worker, if he wants to work around people, is going to have to rent a cubicle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. Now, they had these before the pandemic. They were doing these work share things for people that worked from home but didn't like wanted a community or whatever. But they could never figure out how to monetize it. That it would be like a regular business, like how?
Yeah, but you know, many people. I think businesses are going to struggle in general because, like, you guys call that like anytime you call any kind of service or anything right now, you get the first message you get is because of COVID, we're dealing with more than normal volume of calls. Bull fucking shit. You're dealing with more than a number of employees that don't feel like picking the fucking phone up, and they're letting it ring, and they're sitting at home fucking with their putter on in the living room hitting a golf ball around, and they're like, I'm gonna wait another few more minutes.
Yeah,
someone else will get it. Nobody's watching.
Someone else will get it.
That leads me into the story I read. I actually have one here. It leads right into that, Beaver. It's like we talked about this, but
segue.
It says an Italian man achieves the perfect work-life balance. This 67 year old man, his name is Salvatore Scumacci.
Oh shit, that's a name.
He skipped every shift for 15 years.
Oh, I heard about this.
And he still made over $650,000. He was supposed to be monitoring hospital security cameras for fires, but he just like took nice strolls, told his neighbors he was retired, and just took his enjoyed himself at home. And then they eventually looked into it and said that...
they audited him?
Yeah, he's going to face charges of abuse of office, forgery, and aggravated extortion.
No shit.
Here's a thought. Did anything catch on fire?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, Kev.
Yeah, it says no. It doesn't say... So I think he really did his job, really.
So he succeeded at his job, and now he's going to get fucked.
Nothing caught on fire. He didn't miss it.
Imagine if something did, though. Oh, how does he talk that one out?
I was in the washroom.
They're called time card weasels, they call them in Italy.
That's hilarious.
Weasels. I like that. When I was working at the Quap, this is way back before they went bankrupt, I was supposed to make, I left my job to manage this thing that there was this plant they were supposed to buy, and then they didn't buy it, and then so then I had no fucking job, right?
Oh shit, that's a double shitty scenario.
So for a while I just made it look like I had a job.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd go to my office, and then I would get a bunch of binders, and then I would just look frustrated all the time, and like no one wanted to talk to me.
Yeah.
And then I left, and then go home. I lived in Burford at the time. I would just drive home and sleep.
Right on.
And then they did that. I did that for 2 months. And then the one guy says, hey, do you want us to make up a job for you, or you don't want us to fire you? And I said, I'd like to be fired. This is terrible. Yeah.
Especially when he described it as, do you want us to finally give you a job?
Do you want us to make up a job for you is what it was, or would you like to be fired? And I'm like, I would like to be fired rather than have a job made up for me.
Yeah, I'm going
to
need a purpose, not just... Yeah.
Did you say
if you didn't need me before, you don't need me now?
No.
You know?
Did you say, you know what? How about I quit?
No, you don't get any severance from quitting. I was there 11 months. I got 4 months severance.
Really? You don't get anything? Oh, you got to get fired.
You got to get fired. You get fired, you get like all kinds of shit, man. It's the best. Getting fired is the best. I would beg my boss. Like we'd have annual reviews for when I was in the banking.
Yeah.
And I would beg my boss to fire me in those reviews. I would say, please fire me already. Like anytime he criticized me, I'd be like, you got a good point there. You should fire me. Yeah.
I don't deserve to be here.
And he goes, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And
fired.
I would say, well, I would, if things are going well, I wouldn't be working here. That's what I'd say. Yeah. I would say, if things are going well, you would have fired me and I would have got a nice severance and I would have done something I don't hate. You know, that's what I would do. And he's like, why do you always say like that? Because I mean it. That's why I say it, because I actually believe it.
So were they ever shocked at your reviews? With the way you enter, like,
yeah, he said that my bosses would say, like, you,
I think he wants to be fired.
He says, you're always joking around like that, and I don't like it.
You're always joking around like that. That's,
and then I would say to him, like, this, I go, I don't know what you think is joking about it. I'm telling you the fucking truth. Like, I hated it.
This sounds like right out of a movie, out of the Office movie.
It's frustrating.
They would think I was joking.
Or what movie is that? Yeah, The Office.
Office Space.
Office Space.
Does he do that?
TPS reports.
Yeah, fuck you, buddy. And then, but the thing is that once you start like telling them that stuff, like you don't care, I don't want this job, I could take or leave.
They didn't think you were serious?
They promote the fuck out of you. They just keep promoting you.
Yeah.
That's what they do. It's like you get raises, and I'm like, I don't want to be here. You're not going to get, money's not going to fix it, you know? Like, and then they were just like, oh, here's another raise for you. Oh, we'll give you a new title, a better office, or whatever. It's all a bunch of crap.
Yeah, I really think that you're talking about almost a movie here. And yet the movie was before this happened. Office Space was 10 years before this probably happened, no?
Office Space was around the same time, probably. But it was, that guy, what happened in that movie? In Office Space.
Well,
he did the same thing.
He stopped going to work, and then they got audited by a third party, and then he went in there and was bluntly honest, like, I should be fired. And they're like, what? And no one wanted to be fired, so everybody was like, oh, they're trying to justify their job.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, no, I don't do shit in a day, except have 20 people stare at reports that I made.
Most people don't do anything. Most people don't do anything. That's the truth. Or if they do stuff, it's just a bunch of bullshit that they don't really need to do.
Or they work harder at getting people not to get them to do something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one too.
Than to actually do something.
Than actually do something. Yeah.
I think a lot of people do what you did too, like with the binders. Honestly. Yeah, yeah. I used to walk around with a clipboard at Freightliner.
Yeah.
Nothing on the clipboard.
No, but as long as you had that clipboard, that was important.
Look, walk with a bit of a pace. You could.
Yeah, he's doing something.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what he's doing. Does anybody know? No. Nobody cares.
And there's a lot of people pretending they're busy out there. And even like a lot of times, if you're worth your salt, really, is that an expression? Worth your salt? But anyways, if you're any good,
I know what you're
a lot of times, like you can do your job in like fucking an hour or two. Like they what it would take you a day to do.
Right.
What they're expecting you to get done in a day or whatever, you can do it in like an hour or two. You don't need to spend the whole fucking day doing it. In fact, if you do try to spend the whole day doing it, you'll just like...
fuck it up.
Yeah, you'll just make tons of mistakes. You'll be tired. You'll end up like being really inefficient. So like most of the time, you're just kind of killing time. And that's the truth. Counting clocks. You could get away with half the people that are working right now.
I agree. And see, and for me now running a business, like I don't care about time. I don't care about killing time. I care about killing jobs being done. So like I don't get excited when a certain time hits in the day. Like, you know, there's those people like, oh, I worked 200 hours or 150 hours last week.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I've never once said I
counted the hours. Yeah.
Right. Oh, I've been starting work at 6 a.m. every day. Well, no, it's how much work did I get done this week?
Now this is a problem I have. Do you have a problem with it, like where you don't know, like where you could get burned out? Like, do you get to a point where you know you have to like take a break, or you have to like just, you know, call it a day?
Yeah.
especially in your runs, like when you're in the middle of like peak farming, you know, where every, it's like you're like go, go, go. You're pushing and pushing and pushing, right?
But right.
Do you ever just notice that you're like, I think I got to like
recharge
a bit?
Well, and I'll have times where I'm like, if I'm keep hitting dead ends on a situation, I'll walk away from it for an hour, but I'll have to get back to it and finish it that day. Like, I can't be like, oh, I'll try it tomorrow.
Right, right.
Otherwise, I won't be able to sleep because the solution is the solution is there.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't have it yet.
Yeah.
So I have to hit, at least have to negotiate my way around that issue and closer to the solution before the end of the day. Otherwise, I ain't sleeping for like that whole night.
But like I've seen guys like your peers, you know, and even yourself, like in the middle of like harvest or whatever, you guys are like skin and bones,
burnt out. Yeah.
Yeah, and like do you ever find like you're barely hanging on or you're not functioning as good?
Yes. Oh yeah. Your judgment gets cloudy. You just keep looking at the end goal.
And you just like I just gotta stick it out for
well,
a couple more.
I've heard the terminology before too, like in farming, like Derek, it'll all be over in a month. Oh, Derek, it'll all be over in 2 months. The reason being is because we have no choice in that end.
Right,
because
right.
The weather is going to tell us
yeah, yeah.
No matter what, we're going to be done.
So yeah. Would like a good rain day be the best thing for you? Like where you can't do nothing, you just got
to... No, because there's no such thing as doing
nothing.
There's
always something to
there's
do,
There's always
right?
something to do. Because like on a rain day, then you're catching up on the shit that...
You didn't get to when the sun was shining. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing is like in my life too. I mean, because it's like self-directed. I can get out what I put in. So if I put in more, I'll get more out.
Right.
So then like there's really no end to work. Like I could work constantly.
Right.
But like not work at all.
Not work at all.
And then I would be, you know, I wouldn't get as much out of it if I didn't work. But there's like if you want to, because we were brought up to work hard, you know. You want to work hard.
Right.
And then so, like, I just never know when to stop.
Well, and see, that's the difference between
no
your
season.
Business and my business is there's the weather is telling me, whereas you.
Yeah. It's me telling me.
You telling you.
Yeah. So I have to actually purposefully, like, say, like, take a break.
Well, yeah, and you can. Yeah, you can. Like, you can do that because if you don't, you've got 364 more days ahead of you till the next year. Whereas me, it's going to end. No matter what.
Yeah, yeah. So you got to get as much in as you can before the end.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I get it. It's just like, yeah, it's tougher. Like, I took an hour lunch break today, and I was like, I can't remember the last time I took an hour just for lunch, you know, where I just sat there and ate and then sat on the couch, watched something on TV or something.
You know what? I was just, now that you said that, you know what I was telling my wife the other day? I'm like, you know what I took for granted when I was younger? Is a nap in the afternoon.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, God.
Sweet, sweet.
What I wouldn't do for a nap.
You, in the wintertime, you do that?
No, I can't now. I don't, like, I've been so long without, I don't know how to do it.
I'll have to lie down.
Yeah, difference between time out and a nap, though.
Yeah, yeah. A nice nap is...
Nap? What's the time on a nap?
Yeah, I think 20 minutes is a nap. Is 20 minutes count as a nap?
Yeah, or like a half hour.
Half hour, yeah. I still can pull off one of those things mid-afternoon. I'll take a nap.
Isn't it glorious?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes if you go longer than that nap time, it fucks you.
Yeah.
It'll fuck you up, and it'll... the waking up from, like, if you go, like, 2-3 hours, if you, like, think you're going to go
down
for
20
minutes.
You're more tired.
Oh, yeah. You wake up, like, you feel terrible, and you don't know where you are or what day it is.
Right. You're not refreshed.
Yeah,
yeah. You feel horrible.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
That's why my wife is dead set against naps. She's like, no fucking way I'm napping because I end up, she doesn't like that feeling, you know?
Well, because we're all, like, the people that I associate in life with is like, we're all about doing better, getting ahead, and being on that edge. You know what I mean? Like, your edge is gone when you do that. Well, like, Jane, I know Jane enough where she wants that edge, right? Like, what's next? What's next?
Yeah, my daughter said to me yesterday, though, she's like, Dad, you're starting to short out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She's like, you're kind of like getting a little like nutty. You should probably cool it a bit, like take a break.
Day. Take a day here or there.
Yeah, really? because I got into dandelions like fucking hardcore.
Yeah, you were saying that.
I don't know. I just can't stop pulling dandelions. Like, and I got this dandelion puller outer thing, and I should spray, but like I don't want to get, because I already have cancer. I don't want to spray more shit. So I just like I had this tool. I started doing it, and I got addicted to it. And then it's like I just pull dandelions.
You do have a heavy commitment personality, though.
Yeah, I do things all in.
Extreme.
And then, so I'm pulling out these fucking dandelions, and it's like a goddamn dandelion holocaust out there. Like, they never, I let these guys run free for years and years with no, unchecked, and they have just, and now they're just getting, I've decided to do like a constant attack, like just a blitz. Every day, they're getting hammered. They keep coming up. I keep thinking that yard's empty.
Oh, you can cut the grass tomorrow, cut them all off, and they'll be right back up the next day.
Well, I'm pulling them up by the ruts, man.
Nothing.
By the
more.
Ruts.
By the ruts?
Yeah, right by the ruts.
What do you think? Like a hole, when you get a hole root, nothing more satisfying.
Oh, I love it. That's what I mean. This little pincer thing. You stick it in the ground with your foot, and then you pull it out, and it comes out like a snake tail, and there's no dirt, nothing, just the dandelion
like
and the root.
Possum's tail.
Yeah. It's gross, yeah. Too. It looks like it's a real rat crawl. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, but it's just the dandelion root.
It's just the taproot right here.
Yeah, taproot.
I hear it makes great wine. Dandelion wine gets you hammered.
Oh, really? I've never heard of that.
My dad told me he used to make it. Got him just liquored.
Oh, really? I got like four fucking wheelbarrows of this stuff so far. Like,
it's probably out back fermenting.
Start a brewery.
Yeah, I guess start making wine. That'd be good. Get all hooched up. Yeah, I even drank last week's show a little bit and didn't help.
Some vino.
Yeah, it was okay. I don't remember if it effed me up, though. I'd love to dip my toes back into boozing again. That would be nice.
Just a nice little slurp.
Oh, just to go get pissed up with your friends again and just have a shit can night.
Yeah, I miss them days.
Oh, so great.
Like now, you know what people are going to start appreciating soon, too, is company.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, company.
A pop-in?
Yeah.
Before, you're like, who the fuck is here? Now you're like, oh, my God, someone's here.
Now it's going to be like, you know, the whole family goes to the door.
The dog.
It's like look
who's here, honey. You know, come on in.
I'm most looking forward to, just having a meal. Like going over to someone's house for dinner.
Yeah.
You know, where you can eat around the table and, like, just booze or whatever you do. Like, just have a good time.
It's going to happen sooner or later because people are tired of this shit.
I got vaccinated yesterday.
Really? What'd you get?
A Pfizer.
You got a nice Pfizer, eh?
Nice Pfizer in the old left arm there.
Did it feel heavy after your arm?
My arm does feel sore. You want to know why? My daughter told me why my arm feels sore from my shot. It's because I'm already full of juice. Okay? Got enough juice in my body.
Okay.
And then they go and take a needle.
They overloaded you.
It's got more juice in it. So now my body's like full plus the vaccine.
So now you're like 100% .1.
Yeah,
too much.
And so that part, until my body absorbs it, it's just sore in that spot. That's what she tells me. I don't know. What does she know? She's just a child. Hey, no. And also, you know what I figured out? I was thinking for like, my kids are like 17 and 19. I was thinking that kids today are like really incredible.
Yeah.
That they're like can do all these crazy things and that they're just amazing, the stuff they know. And then I realized it's just my kids.
Yeah, your kids are pretty good at stuff.
Yeah. And then I started.
You also don't have kids anymore. You have adults.
I know, but like I was paying attention to my daughter's schoolwork, which I really haven't done for that long because it's all been way too advanced for me.
that's not shameful to say.
And but I was looking at it, and then she was showing me what she was doing, and I was kind of giving her like my opinion on things, and then she showed me what the expectation for the class was, and it was like garbage, you know. I'm like, what? This is a piece of shit, you know. Like, that's what they expect. She's like, yeah, I go way over what they ask for because, like, she learned all this stuff.
That's rare.
I thought all the kids did what you did, and then she's like, no. And then I'm like, the rest of the kids are dumb, just like we were. It's just my kids. I married someone that's smart, and now I have smart kids.
I was like a good enough. Good enough.
Yeah, good enough. That's my wife's least favorite expression.
Is it?
Is good enough. She doesn't like it because it means you gave up on what was supposed to be done.
She's got high expectations.
Yeah, she's a perfectionist.
It says a lot about you, though. That means you're good in the sack. She's got high expectations.
Yeah, if she doesn't, you don't want her to say good enough to you.
No.
No. No.
You're right, Beaver. I should just take that.
Yeah.
I shouldn't just
look at, take it.
I shouldn't just look at her lack of experience with others. I should just take it as that.
No, because she has studied the world.
She's a perfectionist. She chose you.
Yeah. Just because you two were young, that doesn't mean that she hasn't explored the theoretical side of it.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And I am checking the boxes, I guess, because she's still with me.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, that's amazing. That's amazing that she's still with me. Anyways, guys, we got to get to a segment on our show that we call Feedback. We got feedback.
We got feedback. It's feedback. It's motherfucking feedback.
Yeah.
Sounded fucking great.
Welcome to Feedback. We got feedback. This week's segment, you know who it's brought to you by, because we did those ads at the beginning. We're not going to put you through it again, but basically it's just BetterHelp, Amazon, Patreon, do those things. But anyways, we tell every week, we say, listeners, if you listen to our show, if you're watching on YouTube, whatever you're doing, say, give us some feedback. Let us know what you think, and then we'll make the show better. So over the years, we've had just some great, great listeners, and we've honored a couple of them as Diamond Club listeners. And finally, you know, we've had great listeners, you know. We've had to go through our stacks and stacks of good applicants to see who could get into our Diamond Club, you know, who could become a shareholder, you know, all the different statuses we've had over the years. But now with Patreon, we have actual ways where you can become real life things by spending money on us, right?
It just does it for you.
Yeah, yeah. And this time we got, as I said, this person's been on our list of possible Diamond Club. She was a Diamond Club nominee.
Ooh.
You know, she's been an all-star listener and supporter of our show. And to be honest, it's a damn shame. She was in the running for the second Diamond Club that we gave to Emil Van Steeg, from Australia. And it was because I didn't want to go girl and then local and local. So I went international.
It's all about equality.
And I want to spread the love, you know?
Oh, my goodness.
But really, if we were going by judging a person by the content of their character and not what's swinging between their legs or where they live in the world, you know, this person, our first real-life shareholder, would have been a Diamond Club, our second Diamond Club member. But she went and jumped the gun. She became a real-life shareholder.
God bless her.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce you to our very first Patreon member, Jen Husko, everybody.
Yeah.
There it is. Jen. Now, Jen, with her membership, because she's in the $10 a month category, she gets to have real-life input on our show, so she can tell us what she likes and what she doesn't like. Of course, Jen has told us in the past she doesn't like comedians on her show talking too much comedy, right? So we took a week off. This is in honor of Jen's wishes.
Yeah.
No comedians in this week. And then also, Jen has offered, because she's in the shareholder category, she gets exclusive Dutch Hall content. And one of the exclusive video you get when you become a Patreon subscriber is the hot tub video.
Ooh.
The hot tub video has been banned by... we might be fucked up here. Looks like we've got the spinning wheel of death. This sucks, dude, because we don't have a backup audio. Let me just go to media source, program properties. There. Okay. We're back. Sorry about that for those who have who are watching the spinning wheel of death.
Little timeout.
I don't know if we're going again. Yeah, we are. There we go. Oh, I just wanted to, I'm sorry about this, guys. There we go. Wave. Wave at the screen to show me that you're working. Ah, fuck it. Go on there. I don't understand what's going. Warning. The stream bitrate is lower than recommended. I don't know where. Fuck it. This sucks, dude. It's working now. Whatever. Okay, so what were we talking about?
Jen.
Patreon. She gets the hot tub video. So I said to Charles, hey, if people pay, because you don't want to let me use the hot tub video, I had to take it down because he was too tight-ass about it.
Yeah.
Because he's afraid people are going to ruin his career if they see it because he's hilarious, right? Like,
that's a horrible statement. So it doesn't even make sense.
He says, pull it down. I pull it down. You want to know why? Because some guy at his workplace said, hey, I saw the hot tub video. It was hilarious.
Yeah, why? What's your problem, man?
Yeah, exactly. And then I end up, so then we take it down. So I said to him, hey, I have it down. The public can't see it. Can I give it to Patreon members only? Yeah. Right? Dave says to me, no.
Oh.
I prefer you didn't. Okay?
He didn't follow that up with anything. He just said no.
He just said no. Well, then he did. He followed up with maybe you can use one of those like face things that
cover his face.
Yeah, to cover his face, right?
Oh, you got
to
blur it out.
Do something, some sort of magic with it. And I said to him, you know what? Maybe I will do that. Maybe I will do that. But guess what? If you're an actual shareholder, if you're a Jen Husko,
you get
if you're an actual shareholder who really is Diamond Club in all of our eyes, mm-hmm. I'm sending you that fucking thing regardless of what Charter says, regardless of his wishes, you know? Regardless of how she chooses to ruin him, because she paid me money and he didn't.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Pete.
Yeah, you're welcome. So anyways, I already told Jen, I said, you know, against his wishes, this video is coming your way.
Yeah, it's a big deal. That's a big deal.
Now, I don't know if I can promise.
Now, what if you blurted his face out with a picture of his face?
Well, I'm thinking that's where maybe this fell here.
Yeah,
Blur it out with a picture of 2.0.
2.0 is, I think, going to become.
It's almost a better version, anyways.
Hey, 2.0, do you have any problems us putting a video of you in a hot tub out there on the internet?
It sure is.
It sure. What?
It sure is.
No.
Sure.
No. No.
I don't have a no.
You do so. Says no. Dave, no.
Oh, okay.
Let's try it again. No? Anyways, who cares? The answer is no. He's fucking no. Charters, you are a disappointment over and over again, just like the real one.
It's all right, 2.0. You're allowed to disappoint us every now and then. You can have an off night.
Yeah. Anyways, we want to.
If you have an off night again, I'm going to rip that gold chain off your neck.
Oh, boy.
And the other.
Yeah, why? What's your problem, man?
He's talking challenging. Tough.
Hostility.
Jen also gets ad-free content, which I told her about, and I sent her the letter. And she gets also recognition on feedback, which we're doing right
Dinner.
Now.
That's my fault.
Yeah, and thank you, Beaver. And I talked to her. I thanked her about it. And I want to just read what she had to say right here. She says, you're very welcome. I wanted to support your show because I've enjoyed the entertainment over the years and I value it. I don't even know the tech part and I don't even know if I'd change how I'd listen or watch. So don't worry about the ad-free stuff. But I would like that video. Hope you can keep doing what you're doing. From Jen. So thank you very much to Jen.
Hang on. She's just,
no.
She's just taking it. She's just like, you know, just take it. Just take
me.
Yeah, she just wants to support the show. She's not in it to control us. She's not trying to be like the Rob Lowe on Wayne's World, you know, where
she's not like, trying to be a she's not trying to be a board of directors, you know?
No. She's a supporter of the show. She's the best.
I love it.
And that's why I don't care if you're a shareholder on Patreon, you are a Diamond Club member in our eyes, Jen.
Absolutely.
Sparkling diamond.
So if you guys would like to provide feedback, go to livefromthedutchhall@gmail.com or thedutchhall@gmail.com. You can go to Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and you can find us there. And thank you for everyone that's done that. And so we want to get into this game to close the show. We've got a couple ways to go.
You told me you got some fresh stuff for me.
Yes, I do. And I actually don't know. We have two options for you, Beaver.
Okay.
Would you like to go with guess the Australian term or guess the Dutch term?
Ooh. I'm going to go with guess the Australian term.
Good choice.
Okay. So we are
because my Dutch, being Dutch, is not great.
Oh yes, and even I think that we all three of us are Dutch, and the Dutch stuff it was all fairly new.
Yeah, it's blurry.
I don't know if I've heard any of the expressions that they talk about, but
no. All right, let me hear it.
I'm going to try my best Australian accent to give you a sentence, and you just tell me what I'm talking about. Okay.
Okay.
Let me just see here. Let me see here. I want to see something here.
Say it out loud.
I'm looking for a word. I wonder if there's a slang word for every fucking word I want to use. But anyway, okay, let me just do this one. Okay. I was feeling a bit randy. And I wanted to go so I went to the Pony Waffle to have a root.
Okay.
No. I went to the Pony Waffle to have a root.
Okay, so he's like, I'm feeling a little randy. So he's feeling a little good. He's feeling like he's feeling great about himself, and he wants to go to
the Pony Waffle.
The Pony Waffle. So that he wants to go and to have a root. Yeah. So he wants to go to like the local watering hole and have kick back and have a nice brew or what?
No, actually, that's to go to the brothel, the whorehouse, to fuck.
Oh, shit. Well, because he's feeling randy, yeah.
Yeah.
Give her the root.
Give her the root.
Now, he goes in there, and he, you know, he doesn't have a franger.
Oh.
Doesn't have money.
So he decides he's just going to get a, what is it called? Get a nub, no, oh, shit, I forgot. So he just had to have a wank.
Yeah, so he ended up having to go to the bathroom and jerk off.
Because why? He didn't have a franger.
Yeah. What's a franger?
A franger? He didn't have, well, at first I thought he...
So what? He didn't have a franger at the
point. Oh, that's like, he didn't have a condom?
Yes.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah, you got
nice.
It.
Nice.
A franger?
Didn't have a franger. It's going to break her hymen.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
So, I was going to say...
I like that word.
So, he just got a gobby instead.
Oh. He just got a gobby? Ooh. So, he just got a gobby instead.
What do you think a gobby is?
A gobby has got to be like... So, he didn't have a condom, and he had to go jerk off, which means he had to get a gobby instead. He had to settle for something.
I don't know if you're settling.
Yeah, a gobby is just a blowjob.
Yeah, but he said he didn't have a
condom. You have to wear a condom when you get a blowjob?
I don't know.
I think you do have to waffle, whatever it's called.
At the Waffle House? Or the Pony Waffle?
You'd assume it, unless they're going the old bareback.
how about this one? I go to the Pony Waffle, and I see this slapper who comes in all looking rooted. With some lad's sprog in her hair.
So he obviously, so some lad's fucking sperm in her hair.
Okay, yeah.
But like he.
A slapper looking rooted.
A slapper looking rooted. So like a prostitute?
Yeah, slapper's a prostitute. Yeah. And rooted just means like, driven hard and put away.
Yeah, like a rough looking. a rough looking slabba.
Yeah, so you the Australian stuff goes pretty good. They also say buggered a lot and pervin' out and that. Those are all stuff we can
use. Yeah, so we can relate to that.
Yeah.
And the girl's a Sheila.
A franger, is that what it was again?
Condom. Franger's a condom.
Franger, that's a funny one.
And a gobber, what was it, a gobbler?
A gobber.
A gobby.
A gobby is a blowjob.
Makes sense.
Which is pretty literal.
A lot of gob.
It's like short, though. Blowjob seems like a long word for, okay. And shorted it with blowjob, or shorted it with gobber.
Okay, so now I'm going to go to Holland. I'm going to Holland, Beaver.
All right, let's go. Let's go the opposite route.
And, okay, I'm going to give you an expression, and then you tell me what the fuck they're getting at, the Dutch people, okay? If you step out of bed with the wrong leg. To step out of bed with the wrong leg.
If you, is it like waking up on the wrong side of the bed kind of thing?
Yeah, waking up in a bad mood. That's an easy one. Unfortunately, peanut butter.
Oh, it's like they got stuck with the wrong topping.
It's just another way of saying like tough shit, like too bad.
Really?
Unfortunately.
unfortunately, peanut butter?
Peanut butter.
Oh, you'll use it from now on.
I will too now.
Oh, peanut butter.
you know what? I'm trying to think if my grandparents ever said that.
I'm just sitting here with my mouth full of teeth.
Oh, dentures.
No, you think, eh? But no, you know, you have a guess, Kevin, for this one?
I think I remember what it was. Like, had nothing to say.
Yeah, you're just speechless.
Oh, speechless. Yeah. No, that makes
sense. You heard that one?
No, it makes sense, though.
Now the monkey comes out of the sleeve.
Oh, I heard that one once.
You have?
Yeah.
It says the moment that a hidden motive or truth behind something is revealed. Oh, it's like now the truth is revealed, kind of like that. Now the monkey comes out of the sleeve. I don't know. Oh.
I was kind of thinking, you know, you get caught walking around with a boner or something.
I like that one better.
Yeah.
My monkey.
Yeah, my monkey. Stop touching it.
To have something under the knee.
Something under the knee. Ooh.
That means like you're an expert at it.
Really?
I didn't give you a chance to guess.
That's not even I wouldn't even have got that at all.
Okay, this one might get. To be a party nose. What does it mean to be a party nose?
Oh, party nose, like you're a potty nose or a party nose?
It says a party nose.
Party nose. So like you think you're an expert at something?
No, that was having something under the knee. To be a party nose is just like to be a party animal. They call you a party nose.
That sucked.
Yeah.
I'd say that.
You give the Dutch low points.
That's what I'm getting at. I give the Dutch low points in that expression. They didn't really think that one.
Okay, how about talking about little cows and little calves?
Really? What?
We're just sitting around talking about little cows and little calves.
Oh, like small conversation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey. We will certainly get that piglet washed.
Like they've created a mess and they want to clean it up?
No, kind of. It's like more
or
like...
Or is it more like a specific?
Yeah, it's like if something's broken, it's like there's a problem that needs solving.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
They would say, like, well, we will certainly get that piglet washed. I mean, like, certainly, like...
Nobody wants to say in Holland what the real thing they're saying. They just want to beat around the bush.
Yeah,
like,
how about this one? As if an angel is peeing on your tongue.
I've said this before, but crapping.
Angels crapping on your tongue?
Angels shitting on your tongue, yeah.
And you've said that in this same context, you think?
Yeah.
You say like, oh, do you have an idea what it means when angels?
First, say that phrase. If an angel is peeing on your what?
Yeah, it's as if an angel is peeing on my tongue. Urinating on my tongue.
Yeah, so it's like burning. Your piss is burning.
No, it actually means something tastes good.
What?
Yeah,
I never would have thought that.
Yeah, Kevin's eating shit. He says it tastes good.
Yeah.
Yep.
To buy something for an apple and an egg.
I think your answer just said it all right there.
An apple and an egg.
Yeah, something tastes terrible.
No, it's like it cost me an apple and
an egg. Oh, yeah, it cost you a shit ton of money.
No, opposite, nothing. It was cheap. If an apple and an egg is cheap. Oh. Arm and leg.
Arm and a leg, yeah. Cost,
apple and an egg. They don't even use an arm and leg. They think that's crazy.
If a Dutchman's saying it's cheap.
Yeah, that's a rare. That's a rare scenario.
To fall with your nose in the butter.
What are these people thinking about?
Huh? It looks like you, Beaver, have just fallen with your nose in the butter.
Yeah, they're confused as fuck.
That means that you were in the right place at the right time. You fell in the nose in the butter. Because that would be a stroke of good luck for a Dutch person.
I guess.
Fall in butter?
Butter? I guess butter's a delicacy there.
You ever had a ham bun?
Gotta have butter on it.
At the old CWL?
Yeah. Well, it's usually a raisin bun with ham and Gouda and butter.
Gouda.
We will make them smell a fart.
Fuck. You don't like that? Those people don't like whoever they're talking about.
Actually, this is their attempt to impress someone.
Really? How am I getting the opposite?
If you wanted to impress someone, you'd say, I'm going to make them smell a fart, you know? Because in Holland, if you can muster up a fart with the diet that they have of just buns.
I'm not going to lie. I've heard buddies say before when they see like a hot chick, like in college, you see a hot broad at the bar and they're like, just a bunch of buddies sitting around the table. I'd love to smell that broad's fart. And it's like, what?
Yeah, yeah. I've heard it's like saying like you'd eat the niblets out of her shit.
Yeah, or some disgusting.
Something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, something disgusting.
Or you'd.
I've heard people say they'll crawl across hot coals to do that.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah,
yeah. I would do that. I understand that more and more.
Like motorboat their butt cheeks.
You're just like, ugh. I would do gross things. When you're young, you're like, oh, I'm a gentleman or whatever. And you get older, and you're like, I'm doing it all.
Yeah.
This is actually one I heard. When your butt burns, you have to sit on the blisters.
Sit in the old toilet.
When your butt burns, you must sit on the blisters. It just means that you got to make in the bed that you sleep in. It's
oh,
like you got to
okay.
deal with the consequences of your actions.
I'm not getting any of these. I got all the Aussie ones. I'm not getting any of these.
Doing something with the French whiplash. Doing something with the French whiplash.
I did like this one.
I like this one because it shows a little bit of prejudice against the French.
What they really think.
What they really doing something with the French whiplash. Oh, you really put me on my toes on this one.
Yeah, this is a good. This one I want. I'm holding you to it.
Yeah. So French whiplash. What like a fucking. I don't know, a French whiplash, like a fucking hairy,
smelly?
Smelly vagina?
Ooh, you're close. It says meaning just doing something that's like shitty, like half-assed.
Oh, yeah.
Because they think the French are no good.
Getting that consensus
that's what
in the world.
Like.
Yeah.
The French must piss people off or something. I don't
must.
Know.
Because no one's got nothing nice to say about them.
No. Which makes me think about, I've been meaning to say this for a long time. We'll end the show with this one. Pepe Le Pew was canceled a while ago for being a little rapey, you know, like rape cancel culture. And I was telling you guys before the show, people that got pissed off about them, about Pepe Le Pew being a rapey. Number one, he's an animal. Animals have to procreate. He sees another skunk. He wants to procreate. That's what animals do.
He'll force the situation.
If you watch Animal Planet or whatever, if you watch nature shows, which I do, you're going to see a lot of rape. You don't see a lot of consensual sex amongst the animals. They're very rapey animals.
Yes.
Are. Not to mention, this is a cartoon animal who's meant to depict a Frenchman. And if you've ever been to France, which I was in 1995, you go to a bar, the French men act like fucking rapey assholes, much like Pepe Le Pew.
Yeah, so he did the right thing.
Right.
Pepe Le Pew is being discriminated.
And I dare say that cat wouldn't be resisting if she was a skunk.
Yeah, she's a cat.
She's a cat. So she's not attracted to Pepe Le Pew. But if she was a skunk, not just caught in a painting accident and made her look like that, she would be so fucking horny for Pepe Le Pew, she would give it up. Because she also wants to have babies.
Right.
And he's a good-looking skunk, really.
Suave.
And he's suave, you know. And that's the moves in France that they do. And women are just like, oh, this is our culture. These guys rub up against you and whatever. You just get used to it. That's how it's horrible, nonetheless. I think that they're not condoning rape. They're showing that French people are greasy and they make aggressive moves towards women. That's
very aggressive.
Which is perfectly allowed and shouldn't be canceled.
And I mean, that expression says it all.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. That's it. Don't cancel Pepe.
Yeah.
Do you want?
And I failed horribly on Dutch analogies.
Yeah, you don't know much. You're gonna have to go back and study.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to buy the cat in the bag.
Yes.
Okay. What is the cat in the bag? To buy the cat in the bag. It's to buy something without inspecting it properly. That's what it is.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You ever like just go and buy a car? You know, kick the tires.
Yeah, and you don't kick the tires.
You ever bought a bag and found a cat in it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ever?
Or you could just say.
Have you ever drowned a cat?
Never.
In a burlap sack with a rock?
No.
No.
Just went in.
Did that to a skunk once.
Yeah?
Not in a bag. It's in a cage.
Just threw the cage in the pond?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
was it tied to the back of a trike?
No, I was teaching it how to swim, and I failed.
I watched on the news one time where this guy caught a raccoon in a live trap, and then he went to like the dock in Oakville or something like that, and he just like threw it off.
Did he get caught?
That's a bad move.
Oh, yeah, cameras there. And
no way.
Fucking PETA and everybody outraged, right?
Oh shit!
And I'm like, man, if you ever been like, you know, groundhogs. When I was a kid, like I think groundhogs, like, you pretty much murder them all the time, yeah. Right?
Man, you know how many farms ponds were burial grounds for teaching animals how to swim?
Well, I know there used to be groundhogs everywhere, and now I've seen two in the last 2 years, and I was like, hey, they must be making a comeback because I've seen two, but they used to see groundhogs all the time. Do you remember that? You might be too young.
Oh, yeah. No. I used to see them all the time.
It used to be all groundhogs everywhere, and you never see them anymore. Anyways, they're kind of, I have seen two. Have you seen them on the farm?
I haven't seen any lately on the farm. A lot of coyotes, a lot of deer. Almost ran over a turkey the other day.
A wild turkey?
Yeah.
Oh, I watched one run back and forth at a fence the other day.
He wouldn't move. I waited. I went slow. Yeah, I was fumigating. And those I was doing 5.1 mile an hour.
They were all gone at one point in time. The turkeys were real low, and now they're everywhere.
Yeah.
Right? They said the opossums came up, and they ate all their eggs, and then that's why they were low. There was no turkeys.
Oh, really?
But then the environment just kind of like figures it out.
Right.
And now we have possums and turkeys, and they're both lots of both of them. Yeah.
Possums eat a lot of ticks.
Yeah. And now we like possums because they eat ticks.
Yeah. I get a shitload of those at my place.
Possums and ticks?
Ticks.
Ticks, yeah. I know. We have them here, too.
Bad.
Yeah. There's tons of them. And they give you Lyme disease.
Yeah.
Which apparently is no picnic.
No, I was told it's no picnic. I don't know what it's like, but.
I don't know. My neighbor says he got a tick right on his dick.
Oof.
Yeah, he said.
That would suck.
He said it's because his dog was sleeping with him.
Ew.
In bed. And I go, well.
Did he have like no, was he not wearing anything?
Well, obviously he was wearing the dog on his dick. Right?
Wow.
Because like you don't.
I would mad panic.
I mean, I could sleep with my dog. I'm thinking if I could sleep, I could sleep with my dog.
I can't.
But then I got to sleep with my dog in the nude. Then I got to be like, what, close enough for the tick to jump on me,
yeah,
on my dick, right?
See, I can't sleep with an animal, like wife only. I'm selfish.
Maybe he needed a trim.
Always just like long pubes and it just
and I sleep
traveled
in the,
on it like the bridge.
I sleep in the nude, man. I can't have an animal in the, I'm not an animal in the house person.
Oh, yeah?
No.
My cat doesn't. But if he was to want to sleep at my feet or even on my legs.
On top of the sheets?
On top of the sheets.
Different.
Yeah, on top of the sheets for sure. I would allow him that privilege.
Maybe.
Yes, because he's earned it.
He's earned it.
Oh, Ralph's a good friend. He's a good listener, and he's a good friend.
And he fucks off when he's done listening to you.
Yeah. I like cats, man, because they don't give a fuck, eh? Yeah. They're not there because you trained them. They're there because they feel like it. Yeah,
they feel like it.
They got something in it for that.
They won't annoy you.
No. I also like if you have a dog, the dog will, like, if you die in your house and with your dog, the dog will sit beside your body and, like, starve to death, you know?
It'll come for you.
Cat'll eat you.
The cat'll eat you before his bowl's empty.
Yeah.
You're like, he'll just know that you're dead and just start eating your eyes out. Doesn't care about you the second you're...
Cat-like instinct is to eat.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, I'm saving my bowl of food for when this person's done.
Yeah, he knows that he ain't getting more food again.
Yeah, not from you.
No.
If you if your dog, all of a sudden, like, if you let your dog outside and your dog goes and murders, like, three or four other animals that live in the vicinity,
yeah,
you're going to have to put your dog down, right?
Yeah,
you will.
And but if your cat does that, that's just it doing its job. It just does it, like, naturally. You see a cat take down a fucking rabbit, and you're just like, wow, man, that's crazy. And then you let it in your house, it snuggles with you.
Half a rabbit in my backyard the other day.
From a cat?
From our cat, yep.
Yeah, it's wild, man. I've seen my cat take down a rabbit, too, and it's like a decent size one, too.
Yep.
Like, they'll go at them, man. It's crazy. The cats are, like, the most efficient killers that there are. It's awesome.
They only take what they need.
Oh, but they do it for fun, too.
Oh, ruthless. They look at it, they have no regard for the life or whatever they're messing with.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. It's just ruthless. Like, it's like, I have to tell the kids at one point in time, like, turn away. Like, it's too much to watch.
A little gruesome, eh?
It's gruesome, yeah.
They're picking it up, flipping it, smacking it with their paws.
Can't understand why it's not moving anymore. That's usually always the end. It's like, this thing was fun for a while.
Boring. Going to put it in your front step so you step on it when you leave in the morning.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. They always bring you the dead animal at the end.
They put it in a frame for you, right on the front step.
Yeah, they're real thoughtful.
Yeah.
I do like that. A real murdering animal. It's like watching a nature show in your backyard every day if you want to.
And then it rubs up against you a little later.
Yeah, it just says, hey, you know what I was out there? I just ate the liver out of a bunny rabbit. No big deal.
No big deal.
I was thinking of you the whole time.
Yeah. Anyways, that's our show, I think. I think we got to call it a day. For everyone that's listened, thank you so much. You are very special people, or crazy or whatever. And if you'd like to give us some feedback, do it live from the Dutch Hall at gmail.com or any of those other ways. And until next week, we'll see you, NT. See you next Thursday. Hit it.
Meet a Sheila. My nephew's big on right now.